We are going to look into the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 41 to 47. So if you have your Bible with you, may I just encourage you to turn to that portion of scripture. This is just right after Peter, who preached a sermon that the Holy Spirit used to move the people into believing the message and respond in kind. So last sermon of the year, we talk about the ordinances of the church. We talk about the water baptism and also the Lord's Supper. And today we are partaking of the Lord's Supper together because this is one of the functions of a church, right? We come here, and for our church culture here at KLBC Desa Paksiti, we always partake of the Lord's Supper on the first Sunday of the month, except the month where we remember the Lord's death on the cross, Good Friday. All right, that is when we partake of the Lord's Supper as a church. That's something that is different. All right, so we talk about the local church. Good morning. We talk about the local church as the primary center for worship, for fellowship, for evangelism, for disciple making and ministry. And we talk about the local church as a place where we hear of the preaching of the word and also the teaching of the word, whether it is in the Sunday school, in the connect group setting, or even Bible study group. And we also talk about the local church. They are being called a local church, not cell group, not CG, not Connect Group and per se, because local church has the appointment of leaders or ordained leadership that looks after the congregation. And the other specialty about a local church is that the local church can practice the ordinance, water baptism, and the Lord's Supper. So this is what makes a church a church, a local church. The reason why it's called local, because it is at the place. And in our church setting, this church is found in Desa Park City. All right, so our church is Kuala Lumpur Baptist Church, Desa Park City English Congregation. That is our what we have talked about in our last sermon of the year, in year 2024. And to recap, we talk about water baptism. It is an outward expression of an inward decision, and it is a sign to show to the world that that person who have gone through water baptism, that person is willing to turn his life over to God. All right, it is a public declaration that this person believes in God and will turn his life over to God. All right, so this is found in verse 41. Those who accepted Peter's message, they were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the numbers that day. All right, so again, it is a practice. We have done our last water baptism during Christmas time. And truly, that is a way that we show to the world that we believe in God, we want to follow God. And each one of us here is accountable to each other if we fall along the way. If we have fallen away from God, as brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the time where we will help one another to come back to God. And as we start off the new year, among the pastors, there will be a time of fellowship where we chat, where we talk about ministry, where we talk about what's happening in the church today. And these three pastors, they met at the fellowship time, and they were talking about conditions at their church. All right, so it was just after summer. And then the first pastor actually said, you know, I've been having some problem with my church. And the problem is with some mice. There are mice in my church. I try everything. I try noise, spray, cats. Nothing seems to scare them away. And the second pastor also said that, yeah, this is the same problem that my church is facing also. This is the same problem that my church is facing also. I've set traps. I've called an expert to get rid of them, but nothing has worked so far. Now, the third pastor, he answered that, he solved it. I had the same problem. So I baptized all of mine and made them members of the church. And since then, I haven't seen anyone mice before, after that. A church is a place where we turn enemies into families of God. So just in case you do not know, this is a place where we turn enemies of God into the family of God. So once before we have heard of the gospel and we respond to it, we were enemies of God. And truly we see that in the early church as Peter preaches. And as he preached, the Holy Spirit were in the hearts of the people, and those who accepted his message, they were baptized as a sign of repentance, enemy of God, becoming family of God, and about 3,000, they were added to their number that day. So let me read to you a passage today, Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47, and the title of our sermon today is A Community That Is Formed Through the Gospel. Verse 41. Those who accepted his message, they were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And all the believers, they were together and they had everything in common. They sold property and possession to give to anyone who had need. And every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. There are a few points that I would like to highlight as we look into the passage this morning. And again, it's very straightforward. And there are about 6 points that we can look into and see. Whether KLBC, Desa Park City, we are like them. We are like the community that has been changed, that has been formed through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the first point, the characteristic of the early church. The first one, people who received the word gladly. So I believe all of us here who are part of the Lord's Supper together, we are acknowledging our presence here as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We have made the decision to repent and to come before God and put our trust in Him as our God. So it happens then. It happens to most of us here seated today. And I thank God for that, because all of us, we have received the word of God gladly. Now, Peter's message was the good news of salvation. And in the church, we are not talking, we are not sharing a set of ideas. We are not sharing about human philosophy. We are not talking about religion. We are not talking about a set of rules and principles only. We are talking about the power of God that can change lives. And we are the best example here, because the word of God changed us and we have embraced it gladly. We have embraced it gladly, and that is why we are called a church where we are true believers in God, because we don't only just hear of the word and listen of the word only. We have responded. We have responded by making a decision to follow Jesus. We welcome it. We practice it. We experience it. We hold on to it. And of course, there are people who have yet to respond to it. Not everyone who present, even when after Peter preached the message, not all responded to it. Some were there for the wrong reasons. Some were close-minded. Some were simply just refused to believe in Jesus Christ. So when the people heard of this, they were cut to their hearts. They had a response. They have repented, they have been baptized, and 3,000 were added to their number that day. So as we take the decision, as we make the decision to be baptized, we enter into a holy and covenantal fellowship with one another. Not only with God, but with one another. That we acknowledge one another as the church. And as a body of the church, as part of the body of the church, when one part of our body suffers, the whole church suffers. This is basically what it means by being part of a church. And that is why we need to uphold one another even more so, as we encourage one another, as we know of one another, as we talk to one another, and prayerfully we'll be glad enough to open up, that we are able to share our challenges, our suffering, so that ultimately we can see that the miracles of God is still happening today. We are going to go into that in a while. So reflection point number one, have you received God's message for you gladly and are part of the family of God? And as I see earlier, many of you partake of the Lord's Supper together. And for point number one, I would like to say that yes, truly, most of us here, we have gladly accepted and received God's message for us, and that we are part of the family of God. Now, the second characteristic of the early church is that people continue steadfastly. People continue steadfastly. So for the Boys Brigade, it's sure and steadfast, right? That's our motto. And people at that time in the early church, they continue steadfastly. They don't only go for water baptism and disappear. They continue on by devoting themselves. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So there are four parts here that I would like to focus upon. Only two parts. All right. Out of these four, I would like to focus upon the two. All right. Because we have talked about the rest in our previous sermon. Now, the apostles' teaching through the scripture. Now, you have to remember that at that time, the New Testament is not there yet. It's being written here and there. But ultimately, what they have is the apostles, the Old Testaments, and the apostles are particularly more important, very important at that time, because they are the ones that have gone through life with Jesus for about 3.5 years. So this is the life of the apostle. And today, we truly want to thank God because we have the full scripture made available to us. 66 books, 39 Old Testament, 27 New Testament. And out of this, we have systematic theology that teaches us the doctrine of our faith. So in short, doctrine can be spelled out as deity of Christ. So they talk about who Jesus is, whether he is truly God, he is truly man. And the doctrine that the apostles teaching will cover the original sin. What happens in the book of Genesis chapter 3? Why are we in our state today? Why is the world in our state today? So this is something that we will need to talk about in my next series of sermon. And C refers to the canon of scripture. Why these 66 books? Out of the so many other books that disciples have written, why are they not included into the canon of scripture? All right, we'll talk about that also. We talk about the Trinity. We will be talking about, you need to know about the resurrection of Christ, the incarnation of Christ, that after we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we are a new creation. And what does it mean by that? And eschatology is the end time. When Jesus comes again, what happens when the world ends? Eschatology. So all this, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And also, we pray that we too can answer some of this. Do you know whether God, Jesus Christ, he is a man or a God? Do you understand what's going to happen when Jesus comes again? Can you share to your neighbor what does it mean by the concept of Trinity? What is the original sin that the Bible mentioned? And how is it that is influencing our world today? So can we actually answer all this? So prayerfully, as we look into the next series, we'll be going through all this, and prayerfully by then, you will get a glimpse of what all this is all about. And if you have not, I would like to encourage you to be part of a Bible study group, part of a CG group, Connect group, because we are going to cover some of this now and then. Now, the breaking of bread refers to the Lord's Supper, and we have covered this in our last sermon. We have taken the bread, Jesus took the bread, he broke it, and he exhorted his disciples to eat it in remembrance of him. And the cup with wine, it is a new covenant to drink in remembrance of Jesus. And as we eat, as we drink of the bread and the cup, right, we are proclaiming the Lord's death and the Lord's return ultimately. So we have done that, we have understood this, and we have been teaching every time when we have Lord's Supper. So prayerfully, you'll be able to understand all this. and that we are to be we are to continue our faith here on earth steadfastly by understanding all this and by being part of a church. Now, the third characteristic of the early church is that the people who are stirred, they are stirred souls with a godly fear. Our souls are stirred because they see God in action. So the question for us today is that do we still see God in action today? Because here you notice that the verse says that everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. We are filled with awe, or they are filled with awe at that time, because there were signs, there were miracles, there were wonders performed by the apostles. How about us today? Is there still miracles and wonders that God performs in our life today? Have you seen this movie, Avatar? Just give me a wave of hand. This came out back in the year 2009. And the only information that I get at that time is the poster on the left, just the face. And then because of the faith, I take a step of faith, right? And I went to the cinema not knowing what it is all about. And then I was struck with awe. The new creation or the planet, in a way, Pandora. And all this movie took about 4 years to be produced. And the development of this story actually started back in the year 1994. So it took about, how many years? 12 years to get it done, in a way. Now, truly, as I walked into the cinema, as I left the cinema, it blew my mind away. Because of the cinematic, because of how detailed things are. And to me, that is like, whoa, that's so amazing. Now, the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles included healing at that time. The healing of the blind, the healing of the paralyzed, the lame, the possessed. And of course, we know that Paul was struck with a poisonous viper, but there's nothing wrong with him after that. And there was a raising of Tabitha from the dead. And you know, people who were paralyzed, bedridden for 8 years, they were healed. And all this through the power of God manifested through the apostle. So for many of us, we can only find that feeling of amazingness or awness when we go into the cinema and watch certain movies that blew our mind. Prayerfully, and hopefully, that is not the case. We can just look into our universe today. We can look into our solar system today. We can look into our body today, and in our respective field, you will see the fingertips of God there. You'll be able to see how marvelous God is, not only during the apostles' time. You will be able to see that our God is still amazing today. That our God is having many wonders and many fine signs performed in our lives today. And one of the reasons why we don't know all of this is that we don't share. If you notice, the wonders, the signs performed by the apostle is public. Everybody can see it. And today, at our fingertips, we have the technology at hand. And with technology, we can just search about how amazing our universe is. And that is our God whom we worship today. He is the one who created all this. So as we look into our lives, you know, whether it is in sickness, whether it is in healing, whether it is in difficult situation that we don't seem to have a way out, but God miraculously led us through. All these are signs and wonders that God still performs in our life today. The challenge for us today is whether we make it public. Whether we share it to our fellow brothers and sisters so that they can be encouraged and know that this God whom we worship today still perform wonders and signs. Now, the fourth characteristic of the early church is that they were together and they were sharing in ministry. All the believers were together and had everything in common, and they sold property and possession to give to anyone who had need. Now, they were together in the same place because they were having the same call, same mind, and same purpose. And this is the reason why we are here together at the same place on Sunday. Now, that's a challenge for us always. As Chinese, we have the fear of losing out. We have the fear that, you know, as we give, you know, if we don't think about our future and the future of our kids, you know, we are thinking that we may lose out on certain things. We think that we will be not having enough, when the Bible says that clearly we are to hold back nothing. But in our own ways, we are holding back our money, we are holding back our time, we are holding back our conveniences, we are holding back our ministry because simply we do not practice what we believe. And truly, it is a sad example here. Gandhi said that, "I like your Christ, but I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." Can you imagine if those days, the missionary that goes into India and they behave slightly better, even more like Christ, is it possible that the majority of the Indians today will be Christians? So in our case here, are we withholding something from the Lord and from the people that God cannot work through us? On the 1st of January, there was this uncle. He actually came on December 15th at the main church. I was preaching there. He was blind. He came into the church and he wanted to sell his products. And the ushers, they were trying to hold him down and also to encourage him to listen to the sit in the congregation and to actually listen to the service and be part of the service. And now we want to thank God because the ushers actually prepare food for him. Breakfast, lunch, and after that, somebody sent him home to Grab, 50 plus ringgit. He stays in Equin Park. Do you know where is Equin Park? It's all the way in Sedang. And he said that he will be back again on January 1st, and true enough, he was there. As a church, sometimes we also gang that we will sit tight. We will be the one that is losing out to people. People coming into the church, trying to take advantage of us. But our stand is that let them take advantage of us if we can share God's love with them. I believe they will not ask us to buy a car from them, right? So as we can, just bless them. Welcome them into our midst and prayerfully, through our act of love, they will experience God, they will encounter God, and ultimately, a soul will be saved. So the question that we need to ask today is that, how much does a soul worth to you? 20 ringgit? A Grab trip? A lunch? A dinner? 16,000 ringgit, 32,000 ringgit, 100,000 ringgit. How much does a soul worth today? The people were unified and they worship and praise God together. So we see that every day they continue to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in the homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They were praising God and they were enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being safe. Can you imagine the community life they were having? The communal life they were having? Just imagine this, right? So let's say, all of us belong to this church and we are just staying around the Sapak City, even though it's not true, right? Let's just imagine that we are staying around the Sapak City. So some of us, we are at Southbrook, Sophia, West Side, and we have Park Region, then we have the Xenia, right? Every one of us belongs in this community. And if we practice this, it literally means that we meet in church every day. And then we are meeting at our fellow brothers and sisters' home daily. So sometimes we are meeting, oh no, too many of us, right? Smaller group. We are meeting at Xenia, we're meeting at Sophia, we're meeting at South Brooks, and sometimes we meet up in Arcadia and Water Park, Waterfront. And as we meet together daily, what do you think the impact will be for those who have yet to know God? Some of us, we may have pets together, so we just go jalan-jalan, you know, together with the pets, right? And as we increase in our encounter with one another, people can see us publicly. Those who have yet to step into the church, they can see the church outside of the church. You are the church. Can you imagine a day where we do that? You know, every time we have, after the service, we go lunch together. That itself, you are the church at the restaurant. How you treat the people, how you treat the waitress there, the waiter there, people can see. And if you are consistently going to the same restaurant, people will know. Because when you pray, giving thanks for the food, this group of people, they are special. They are unique. When you go for jogging together and, you know, when you bring your pets out together, as you talk to other people, you share the love for your pets to other people as well, you are actually bringing the church outside of this compound into the world. And this was what was happening. They were praising God, they worship God, they do fellowship together outside of church. And that is one powerful way. That is one very powerful way that God can use. That is through you to reach the people who may never, ever step into the church. So are we ready to worship God, to praise God, and to have fellowship starting of this year? Let's start with that verse. We talk about worship already last year. We talk about worship being vital. There was this power in prayer, and we have the purpose in worship, and we are to live a lifestyle of worship, and as a part of worship, we give, because that's an act of worship. And as we step into the year 2025, let's remember, let's practice what we have learned last year about worship, and let's do fellowship together. Let's focus on these two first. So the characteristic of the early church, people who received the word, people who continued steadfastly, people who stirred soul with godly fear, people who were together sharing in ministry, the people were unified and they worship and praise God daily. It was such a powerful story and testimony. Let me end with this story. Now, there was this lighthouse keeper. And those days, you know, the lighthouse wasn't the electrical one. So they still used the whale oil those days, right? So once a month, he will receive a new supply of oil so that the light can be kept burning throughout. And the importance of a lighthouse is that so ships could sail safely near the rocky coast. Now, one night, this lighthouse guard, right, this keeper, there was a woman from the nearby village. She came to this keeper and said that, you know, can you give me some oil to keep my family warm? And another time, a father actually asked for some to be used in the lamp, and then another man actually needed it to lubricate a wheel, right? So all these are legitimate reasons. So the lighthouse keeper, you know, okay lah, being generous, he gave, he grant the request for all these people. Now, toward the end of the month, he noticed that his supply of oil was so low. It was so dangerously low, and it was gone. So ultimately, one night, the light for the lighthouse went out. And in that evening, there were several ships that were wrecked. Many lives were lost. So when the authorities actually investigated into the matter, the man was very apologetic. He told them, you know, the authorities, they need it. So I have to give it to them. But the authorities, their reply to them is very simple. You were given oil for one purpose, and one purpose only, which is to keep that light burning. We are called here to be a church for certain purposes, to worship God, to have fellowship with the people and with God, to have discipleship where we learn about God and where we learn about the doctrine of God, what we believe in. We are called here to be the church because we are part of the ministry where we serve God by serving the people. And we are called to be the church because this is a place where we equip you to evangelize, to share the good news of Jesus Christ to the people. If we use the church for any other purpose than all this, we are going to be like the lighthouse keeper. We have to be accountable to what God has called us to be in this world today. Not to only be the church in the compound, but to be the church outside of this church building. We are called to be the lighthouse to the lost, to the people in Desa Park City, to the people in Kepong, to the people in your school, to the people in your workplace, to your family and relatives who have yet to know Jesus Christ. We are called to be that lighthouse keeper. So as we embrace this year, let us continue to walk in constant fellowship with Christ, constant confession, things that we have not done right, things that we have failed so far, in constant repentance, saying that we will not do this again, we will do our best, God, you help me, and in constant praise of His person, His mercy, His grace, because of the work on the cross. Walk in constant fellowship with Christ. And as we settle that, we will be able to walk in constant fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters. And together, let us be the lighthouse in this area. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for this piece of land that you have given to us. That, Lord, you have called us to be a steward at this place. And Lord, likewise, we are the stewards of KLBC Desa Park City. We want to thank you for the ordained ministers and the lay ministers and those who are serving you in the respective ministry of this church. Then Lord, we thank you because you have called us here to serve you and to serve your people that you love. And truly, Lord, we ask that you help us to move outside of our comfort zone, to continue to be the lighthouse in this area, in our respective area that you have called us to be. That, Lord, if we have failed to be the lighthouse to shine for you because of the various reasons or because that we are withholding our life from you, Lord, we ask that you forgive us. That, Lord, we will not be hypocrites, that we say we love you, but, Lord, we don't live like one. So, Lord, we ask that you help us to build up our faith, knowing that, Lord, you are our provider, that we will not be lacking in anything. That, Lord, you are our protector, knowing that, Lord, you will keep us safe, that you will grant us peace wherever we go. Then that, Lord, your presence will always be with us because your Holy Spirit is in us. So, Lord, holding on to your promises, we want to acknowledge that truly, Lord, you are our God and that we truly surrender to your leading and your guidance. So help us as we move into the year 2025 to be the church that is transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. To live out a life that is full of worship, with praises, with songs of joy, And truly, Lord, we ask that you help us as we move into the year 2025 to live a church, to live a life that is full of worship, fellowship as well. To have fellowship with you and to have fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, we know that we are not perfect. This church is not perfect. But Lord, we ask that you grant us a heart to look into being a church that brings you glory and honor. So Lord, help us. We know that it's not simple. It's not easy to move out of our comfort zone. But Lord, we trust in your leadership. We trust in your word. And then Lord, help us to hold on to your promises. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.